Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you've been enjoying our live episodes, why not come see a live recording of Drunk Women Solving Crime? Our next shows of 2019 are Thursday, April 25th with Desiree Birch and Zoe Lyons. Tickets available at pleasance.co.uk. We also have a special show at the Vault Festival for International Women's Day on Friday, March 8th with YouTube star, sex educator, and author Hannah Witten, with 100% of the proceeds going to Child.org's Team Mum campaign. You can find more info and buy tickets at vaultfestival.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time. Drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins, and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Here comes the bride. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Before she was a serial killer, she was actually a really unhappy person.
You know what? I would rather order an Arsaretto than a porn star martini, though. Genuinely.
Fine. I got flashed on the way to Cock Foster's. Yeah. So that's fine.
Did she try to fuck him?
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to a new episode of our podcast. I am Katie Wilkins, as you know, and I am your host for this episode. And we are joined by our fantastic guest, Uma Nea.
Hi.
Hi, and Uma is a podcaster and writer as well.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Hi. I clapped myself. I'm still doing it. Hi.
We should.
It's been a self-care, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we need to be proud.
Yeah, be proud. Be proud.
You can't solve crime with bad self-esteem.
Yeah.
I know a lot of detectives would disagree with that.
Yeah. You can certainly commit crime with self-esteem. That's almost a prerequisite.
That works. Yeah.
In fact, definitely. If you hadn't clapped yourself, you'd be prime suspect. So that's our first test.
Thank God, I passed.
She believes in herself. She's probably innocent.
Probably.
Uma, can you tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Many times.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been difficult. But this one happened on probably, you know when they say it's the best day of your life?
Oh, no.
I was robbed at my wedding.
Oh,
of your
my my god.
Dun 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 of my husband.
No. You can smell it of like your freedom. And...
yeah. Real deep. We're getting real deep there. No.
It's sad that I didn't know what that was. I'm like Eurovision. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the big day.
This is incredible.
Goosebumps. What happened?
Yeah.
Oh god. Well, it's been about 8 years now, and I'm still. It still kind of feels quite hard to talk about it. So I'll just have another sip.
Yes.
Wow. I feel like I went in. Yeah, I went in way kind of like flippant with my joke about.
You're gonna feel really bad about that now.
Oh shit. Okay, go on.
All I will say is my wedding day. Lots more happened, but I'm saving that. Maybe for a future podcast or another day.
Wow. Okay.
I'm really upping the suspense here. It better be good.
I'm giving you my pity face, and I can't help it. I'm really sorry.
Free pity.
Free pity.
And I'm really loving that.
I really
it's feeding me.
I do really recognise that face, Taylor. That's weird.
Hi, Hannah. Just your average day. Hey, Hannah.
That's not your normal face. Oh God.
Resting pity face. What happened was I got to the venue. It's like a really nice central London place. You wouldn't think something like this could happen.
Yeah.
To be fair, I was dressed like blinged out to the max. It was my Indian wedding, big fat Indian wedding. So I was a target, prime target, I guess, for those kind of things.
Oh, man.
Oh dear. Well, I got out of the car and then I did this kind of, you know, lap of honour around the hotel reception, all my friends and who'd got there early, and they were like, oh,
that's
hi.
Lovely.
You know, and then basically I had a vanity case with like all my stuff for my mini moon, like, you know, that, like, you know, your
when
little
you go
short wedding. And who's still got it? And I say that again. You know, that little honeymoon thing.
Yeah.
So I had all my stuff in there, but I also had like all my makeup for the day, because I got made up at 7 a.m. and the wedding was going to go until about 1 in the morning.
Wow.
So I didn't, I was very flippant. I didn't think the makeup artist should come. I was fine. I would have my own kit and everything.
Okay.
So someone was holding the bag. And within 2 minutes of actually being there, it was gone.
Oh no.
It was about, is this like, am I supposed to go that dark with these things? Should it be funnier than this?
No.
It's really sad.
Absolutely.
We'll still find a way to laugh. It's
good.
Don't worry.
Just laugh, because I'm I might be crying soon. It's still very raw. But basically, within seconds of realising it wasn't there, I turned into Bridezilla. Like, I had gone from really cool and calm and collected to losing my shit. I was so upset, And then I remember the registrar.
Who was looking after it, though? Sorry, I'm already, suspicious.
I know.
Like,
I'm it's already a crime to solve.
Yeah.
I don't know, and it's all very hazy now, but I don't even know if it's anybody's fault. Like, it's just they were obviously
just
targeting.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad saying, like, before we left the house, I was like, Dad, why are you wearing like a bum belt, like a travel belt? And he was like, because Ema, like, he had, in Indian weddings you have to give gold before the ceremony to like the in-laws and stuff like that, and give gifts. So he said, you know, I have to do this because otherwise it could get nicked and go.
Yeah.
Now if I would get married again, hopefully it doesn't happen, I'd be bum bagging like totally. But yeah,
nobody should have to go. Bum bag
I know.
Especially on a wedding.
Yeah. But I'd do
like
it.
I'd like to see how you could bling up a bum bag. Like, I'd like to see.
That.
I think you could do
Asian
stuff with
style.
It.
I'd probably wear it on the side, like jaunty kind of thing. But so anyway, basically then the registrar came in. I got moved to like my honeymoon suite to, you know, get ready and, you know, before the wedding. And the registrar came in and she was, are you, you know, how are you feeling? You look great. Are you ready? You know, I had a few questions to ask, like, are you okay to get married kind of thing? Have you seen my bag?
Huh.
She was just like, no, I haven't seen your bag. What bag is this? Like, have you seen my bag? I was asking everybody, have they seen my bag? And then my brother, basically all my friends were around and my cousins, and like, you know, you look amazing and being really nice. And I was just like trying to contain the, you know, worry that I didn't have bobby pins to last for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Because I was being really, really annoying by that point. I really freaked out.
So it had all your makeup for the rest of the day?
All my makeup, my contact lenses, like really special jewellery that I'd been given to take on my honeymoon. Yeah, it was bad. Feel so sorry for me, everyone.
In my head, this was the reception, but actually the ceremony hadn't even taken place.
No, I hadn't even done my registry wedding yet. It literally had been in the venue for 5 minutes.
And was it the bag that your honeymoon stuff was in too?
So yeah, like all my kind of... Because when you get married, when you have like an Indian or Asian wedding, you get something called a trousseau, which means you get everything new. So you get like outfits from your mum and dad, and then your outfits from your in-laws. You get like all new luggage if you need it, kind of thing. If you're lucky, you know, and I'd got like a whole new set from Debo's. One of the things was like a vanity case.
Even the bag was brand new.
So the vanity case, yeah, is the thing that went missing. And then like all my family, because I got married on Easter Sunday, as a lot of Asian people do. So they had to kind of go up to like Marble Arch to find like bobby grips and find replacement makeup.
Okay.
But then I was fine like by about 5 PM. But yeah.
That's fine about 5 years in.
He always says that when he walked down, like, you know, for the registry wedding, and so we had loads of events that day.
Yeah.
He just was like, I thought you just didn't want to get married anymore, because I looked so, I was like seething, really annoyed. And he was like, what's wrong with you? And then I think he even said, like, what's wrong with you?
Here comes the bride. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Bag. But yeah, I did just go, have you seen my bag? So yeah, but then I kind of went out of Bridezilla, but I did have Bridezilla moment for about a day.
But the thing is about the Bridezilla thing is like, oh, someone didn't get like a piece of cake that they wanted, so they're Bridezilla, and it's completely unreasonable. You got fucking mugged on your wedding day.
Mugged, and I didn't even know it until
unreasonable to be really upset about
it.
That's horrible.
I hate the whole Bridezilla thing anyway, because it's like every other like female pressure where it's like, okay, on the one hand, you have to throw the perfect day that's about everybody but you.
Don't be a bitch about
it. But on the other, be really, really calm and serene and show us that you're having a great time, because it's not really
possible.
About you.
It's not possible. So it's was my crime.
And it's not just about what was taken. And this is true. Like, people have shared loads of thefts. It isn't. And then you sort of minimize it and you're like, I know people get worse things. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
But it's the feeling that it gives you that somebody... had it felt that they had the right to do that, and then you're left with that feeling.
I mean, not my big
day.
Our big day. Like, it was just so awful that they could pink blamange like wedding girl getting married, you know, and then just take. But yeah, we then found. Would you like to hear how it kind of resolved?
Actually, I was going to ask if you reported
on this. On this point, it is a weird time for me to open a bottle of. But I'm gonna, because we're dry.
I heard that noise a lot on my wedding day, but I couldn't appreciate it. While we were on our little honeymoon thing, said that they had seen, they actually found CCTV footage of just two guys just followed me literally off the street as
they're
I went.
Following you.
Yeah, so I came out of the car. I came out of the car and they literally just
saw
went
a target.
In. Yeah, gosh. Saw a target. But I was literally dripping in. Swarovski.
But like also...
Oh, what was she wearing? Like, that's not like
that's
a
like
thing.
That joke
I deserved
about,
it.
Like,
no.
Looking like you deserve it. Yeah. But as well, because of course there's so many distractions.
That's how it happened. It's like that moment when you walk into the venue and you're just so excited. But God, this has been really dark. I'm sorry.
It's not funny.
You've not been wanked at, and that's what we get a lot.
That's happened. It's fine. I got flashed on the way to Cock Foster's. Yeah, so that's fine. Thanks for listening, guys. Thank you. I feel like loads off.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, we have to say on this podcast, what would you say if you could see them now? But then did you actually catch them?
Yeah, no, they just said we couldn't catch them.
Huh.
They were just two guys who walked in.
Opportunists.
Yeah.
What would you say or do to them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Switch off the recording. I would just say, I hope you liked my contact lenses and my 100 bobby grips and my knockoff Mac. You know, brushes. Enjoy. That's it.
There are some like fabulous muggers.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crimes.
Okay, are we ready to solve another crime?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Okay, I'm going to give you some information, because otherwise, how would we do this?
So
again, always picture a real detective saying the things mostly that Katie says.
I need my own show.
Guys, otherwise we can't do it.
A middle-aged woman called Virginia Cacioppo, who sang soprano at La Scala, goes missing and is last seen on the 30th of September. Without any more information than that, what country do you think this is?
La Scala, is there not a Scala? Oh, there's a Scala.
Yeah.
Right, so, sorry.
Is it not Scarborough? Yeah. England, then.
I'll say
oh, the opera singers from Scarborough.
So her name is Virginia Cacioppo. And she sang soprano at La Scala. What country do we think this
Italy.
Is?
Italy.
Good guess. Oh. And you are correct.
Yay!
That felt too obvious. I'm like, I'm not going to say Italy, goddammit. No, trying to throw us like, off.
You don't want to look
might be right.
Stereotypical, but you are correct. Yeah, the and
her name is Cacioppo.
This victim is called see, one of the crimes happening here is my pronunciation of Italian.
Yeah.
So I do apologize. So she was last seen by her sister-in-law on the 30th of September going into the house of a woman called Leonarda Chiantiuli.
Say it twice, it makes it right. Yeah.
Chiantiuli.
That's way
Chiantiuli,
better.
That's Chiantiuli.
In case you misheard me.
That's so true, you always do like double down. I know I'm saying this wrong, so I'm going to say it again.
I said it so well. You did.
Okay. Everyone needs to hear me say this again. Yeah. It's so good. What year do we think this is? Again, there's not much to go on.
75. I feel like...
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. You're a confident detective.
I like it.
I feel like the only crime I know about an opera singer, but it wasn't even really a crime, happened during Second World War, so I'm going to go 40s. Mm. 41, maybe.
Good reasoning.
Lovely.
I just said the first.
I'm going to piggyback on Hannah's reasoning and say agree.
Okay. I'd like to backtrack on mine.
You would be right to do so because Hannah is correct. This is 1940.
Yes.
Okay, so the sister-in-law reported her fears to the superintendent of police in Reggio Emilia, who opened an investigation and soon arrested Chiantiuli. Initially...
Who's a woman?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Leonardo Chiantiuli.
I didn't even know that there was a female.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
That's why we do this, is to learn.
We learn so much.
Do you think Chiantiuli confessed to this murder initially?
No.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. She did not confess initially, but she did then confess. It wasn't until the police thought that her son, Giuseppe, was involved that she suddenly confessed to this and other murders.
Oh, my God.
Providing detailed accounts of what she had done to save her son from any blame. Do we think that she's a good mum?
You know what? Because of the tone that was set in the beginning, I'm going to say, yes, she was. She did the best she could with the murders that she had committed.
Okay, I mean, that's a subjective answer. There's no right or wrong. It's just your opinion for whether she's a good mum. How many murders do you think she confessed to in total?
Oh golly gee, Leonardo. I wonder what her nickname was. There's no
she
good
has
nickname
one.
For that.
She has one.
Nada.
She
Nada.
Nada.
Yeah. She committed Nada.
Yeah.
Even them all.
At the beginning, how many have you committed?
Nada.
Is it like a ridiculous amount or just a modest amount, like 5? I'm going to say 5.
15?
Okay. 7.
Okay, Taylor is the closest.
I love that. I called that a modest amount. Sorry, I've just watched the Ted Bundy documentary and he makes everybody look good. So,
So it's 3. So you're just squeaking
not
into
bad.
The serial killer category.
That leaves plenty of time for mothering.
Yeah.
You're still baking cookies. It's fine.
Oh, just you wait.
Oh, God.
So do we think that her other victims were male or female?
Oh, God. Well, if she's killed one woman, is that a pattern? And what's her motive? I mean, jeez.
Were they, like, it could be jealousy.
That's what I was wondering. Is it all women because she's got some
interesting
association with the?
And it is all women. All the victims are female,
and they've all slept with her husband,
with her son.
No, these are all amazing guesses. I mean, to be fair, I cannot discount them, but it's okay. not mentioned okay. in the sources that I was looking at. But this case is particularly famous because of what she did with the bodies, and that even earned her the nickname. Does anyone want to hazard a guess as to what she did with the bodies?
Oh my goodness.
Ooh, is it really, really grim?
Yes.
Did she skin them?
Did she wear them?
Did she bake them into cookies?
Yes, Hannah George.
She did it.
What?
Are you actually joking? No, Hannah Tony.
Well, kind of.
Is that her nickname?
Basically, she turned them into soap and cookies or tea cakes. Her nickname was the soap maker of Corrigione.
Oh, boy.
So this is the case of Leonardo.
And I know that human fat makes great soap because really? I've seen Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Yes.
Yeah, don't talk.
Yeah, I've learned.
Don't talk about it.
Shh. The statute of limitations is up on Fight Club, right?
It should be. So yeah, this is the case of Leonardo Chiantiulli, the soap maker of Coriago. So fun fact for you guys, because who doesn't love a bit of fun with their soap murder? One of the pots that she used is actually currently on display in a museum of criminology in Rome.
Wow.
I'll have to take a holiday to see that.
Go. See all the sights.
Like homage to the Le Creuset.
Pantheon, man. Like, why didn't I go to
that? I was just thinking that. I didn't know this was available.
So, how did it come to this? Let's take it back. Leonardo Chiantiulli was born on the 18th of April, 1894.
Does your heart speed up every time you have to say the surname? It's coming again.
I think part of me is just resigned to it. It's like, I've admitted I'm a twat that can't do it properly.
No, I love how you
say
that.
I think I'm nailing it.
Oh, okay. Now, she wasn't always a serial killer, guys. Before she was a serial killer, she was actually a really unhappy person.
Sherlock, my God.
So she, whilst still a young girl, she attempted suicide twice. Now, I couldn't find any information as to why she tried to commit suicide.
Oh, my pity face. See? It just goes straight.
Switched on.
We can only speculate. In 1917, she married a registry office clerk called Raphael Pansardi.
Oh, that feels like someone left her at the altar. If you're like marrying someone from the registry office, you're like, oh, fuck it, I paid for the hour.
No, funny you should say that. There is drama here.
Okay.
Because her parents did not approve of the marriage. So yeah, the parents did not approve of the marriage. They had planned to marry her to another man who they felt would be more respectable. Mm-hmm. So her mother did something. What do we think her mother did?
Oh, what would you do? What would a mother do? Lock him.
Block him?
Lock him. Well, you'd block him on Insta anyway, because you don't approve of him. But lock him in, like, maybe in the pantry, just keeping that food theme.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Any advance on that?
Could go harsher than
did
that.
Did she really try to fuck him? I don't know, like, you wouldn't, if your fiancé had, like, fucked your mum, you'd be like, oh,
like,
no.
Really extreme.
Did they falsely accuse him of something? Are they, like, did they accuse him of being a bad Catholic? I feel like that's what they do.
You know, these are all awesome guesses, and I would like to explore each of them, but I will just tell you, what happened. The mother cursed them.
Yes.
That's going to work.
Cursing is actually the most passive-aggressive thing you can do. Because you don't have to prove that you have... Guess what I did?
No, it worked.
Well, have fun being cursed.
I don't know. So Chiantiulli says that her mother cursed them, dooming her to a life of misery, which I actually do feel sheds a bit more light on the suicide attempts. I feel like her mum might not have been the best mum.
No.
Does anyone here believe in curses?
Yeah, big time.
Do you?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh,
that's okay. As long as you don't do them right now.
No, I don't believe in them, but I do think, well, I think it's all part of kind of Asian culture. You do believe in like Nazo, which is like evil eye. So like I'm wearing a little evil eye bracelet. I always wear them. I wear like studs. This is from Astley Clark, if you want to get it. Swipe up. Affiliated link. Send me all the free ones, please. But yeah, no, I do think that it might.
So does that protect you from curses?
Yes,
maybe, but it also kind of matches with this one, so it might work. I don't know. But yeah, I do.
Just because you're protected doesn't mean you shouldn't be fashionable.
Yeah, exactly. On trend and safe.
So it like wards off. like,
yeah, what's... I mean, apparently it does. It can ward off evil kind of intentions, but obviously, like, sometimes people don't mean to. Like, I might say, I love this bowl, and then when you go to take it up, like, to put it in the dishwasher or whatever, you might crack it and break it. Like, I don't want that for this bowl because I love
this
bowl.
Let the record show this is my bowl.
But because I showed so much, like, admiration for the bowl, that even that could prove, like, to be a curse because I just thought the bowl was so pretty and then it just ended up ruining the bowl.
So you jinxed it by making it too...
Killing it with kindness.
Killing it with kindness.
Oh, my God, a lot of people
and
say
it is a really
of...
pretty bowl. Yeah. I might put it in my bag later.
Okay. Well, this is quite cool. I like this.
That's
this is interesting.
Yeah.
No problems.
Right.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I didn't even know.
Listen up, knuckleheads. I'm the
We need to get we need to get to the
okay what so happened. She was cursed by her mother and then a few bad things did happen. First of all, a few years into her marriage, Kianti Uli was imprisoned for fraud.
My that's damn all mom. The mum's fault. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's some missing pieces to that story. I actually couldn't find out if she was guilty or not. It just said that she was imprisoned. I think she was in prison for 3 years. They moved. They had to move house, basically. And then they moved after that. They had to move 3 years later. I don't know if that's because she was in prison for 3 years or they just moved 3 years later. But basically, they moved to Lacedonia. And then something else happened that was quite bad in 1930. Their home is destroyed by an earthquake.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah, like completely destroyed.
Oh, that never would have happened
without the curse.
If her mother hadn't done that.
I mean, coincidence?
Yeah.
Literally no house left. We will never know if this was curse or scientific reasons. but they had to move house again, obviously. This time they moved to Correggio, the town that's part of her nickname. Are we all laughing at my pronunciation?
No!
You just did it with so much confidence that I loved it.
Correggio,
you're in now. You're fluent.
Correggio.
So they moved there. Kianti Uli opened a small shop. She was very popular and well-respected within her neighbourhood, but other things still went wrong. She had 17 pregnancies during her marriage.
Oh, my goodness.
But lost 3 of the children in miscarriage. 10 more died in their youth, and consequently, she was heavily protective of the 4 surviving children.
Oh, my goodness. That is awful.
Yeah. So, like... You know,
remember she murdered like 7 people or something.
There's a reason people
I would
go
too.
Crazy. She was very worried about the curse blighting her life, and she went to see a fortune teller. Do you think that the fortune teller put her mind at ease?
Why would
no.
you?
No.
No more money.
No, she did not. So Kianti Uli saw a few fortune tellers, and it was never good news.
Oops.
That shouldn't be funny, but
I know. I think this is a very sad.
Do you
picture.
Just pay until you get what you want to hear? Like you hear what you want to hear.
I mean, presumably they're trying to get you to come back. So they're like, oh, I can see that. I mean, I'm making this.
That's
up.
That's an abuse of the gift. Because if you have the gift, you shouldn't be making stuff up.
Kianti Uli saw a few different fortune tellers. One fortune teller earlier on told her that she would marry and have children, but all of the children would die young. Another fortune teller who practiced...
Wait, hadn't that already happened? Like, thanks.
I think this is over some years.
Okay.
I'm condensing the fortune telling part. Another one practiced palm reading and told her, in your right hand, I see prison, in your left, a criminal
asylum. Oh, my God. I really need the number of that one. Yeah. They were, like, spot on.
She's great.
She's brilliant. Really, really right.
Doesn't pull her punches.
Yeah. 0800, fuck you.
So Kianti Uli became highly superstitious and terrified that her 4 remaining children were going to die. Aww. Then it's 1939, so Second World War breaks out. This is terrible, but more specifically, what does her son say that he's doing?
Enlisting.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, her Giuseppe, no. Her
favourite son, Giuseppe, says that he's going to join.
That's going to make her so anxious.
It is. It really ramps her up into insane.
And she had a favourite.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing she's done.
They all do. They all do.
A family dynamic.
Yeah.
As the favourite, I know.
It's very big of you to say. Kind of you.
It's really kind.
Yeah.
It's good that you're aware.
That's why I'm the favourite.
So kind.
I'm so anxious, I'm going to make people so.
I know, right? It's still a leap. Okay. Because that is literally her. Like, honestly, the bit I'm about to read is pretty much what you've exactly said. So he's going to join
bad
the
outlet.
Army.
Bad outlet.
Favorite child. She's not keen.
Sorry, now I have a whole Etsy shop set up.
I know QVC. I was going to say. Hey.
Kienta Yuli turned to the one thing that she believed would keep her son safe: human sacrifice.
Wow.
That's why she did it.
Oh, shut up.
Who told her to do that?
I feel like that's a huge leap still. Like, I feel like other mums might be doing some praying or maybe buy a horseshoe. Like, I feel like
yeah.
Going straight to human sacrifice. I mean, at the very worst, like, maybe there'd be a mum that would, like, try and injure their kids so they can't go, like, not life-threatening, but they can't go in the, you know, like...
No, that something would be, small. Something motherly. Yeah.
Something motherly and small.
But be Italian, overfeed your child so he's too obese to enlist.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. human sacrifice.
But yeah, so she's like, no, best start on the old human sacrifices.
But also, human sacrifice doesn't usually end in tea cakes.
I know. This lady.
And dove bars.
This poor lady is crazy. All of her victims had a couple of things in common other than being women. Well, they had a few. Anyone want to guess of the other things they might have had in common?
Did they all sing?
No. Good guess, though.
Were they all astrologers?
No.
Get your own back.
Fortune tellers, yeah.
Were they all single?
Actually, yes.
Ooh.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Dirty
Why?
Single women.
Oh.
Jackpot. So,
the virgin sacrifice thing.
Oh, right.
Don't know.
Okay.
And maybe you could justify, like, yeah, what's she worth
she
anyway?
She doesn't have a husband. She built a whole story in her head and just went with it.
Actually, do you know what? I researched this case and I didn't even occur to me the whole virgin side of it. But yes, they were all her neighbours. They were all middle-aged and they were all spinsters. Although I don't like that phrase. I think
no.
We could say it's 2019, goddammit. They're unmarried or bachelors. Also, you know, I just don't think we should be defined by a relationship with a man. I think, what about, like, other qualities?
Where does that word even come from?
What about just independent ladies?
Yeah, like, you know, they could have been pizza lovers. They could have had lots of other qualities that don't link them to men. So, they are unmarried.
Never weds. That's what I
Never call weds.
That's a horrible name for the most anyway.
Oh, God.
So, Kianti Udi had something up her sleeve that made people turn to her for help. We've kind of touched on this, but the other way around.
Did she pretend to be a fortune teller?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I know. So, her first victim was Faustina Setti. Faustina Setti was a lifelong spinster / pizza lover and also skateboarder, for all we know.
Skateboarder?
I'm just putting that in there. We don't have to define her.
I forgot what year we were in for a second.
So, she'd come to her for help for finding a husband. Did Kianta Uni say that she could help her find a husband?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, she did. So she told her that a suitable partner was available in Pola, but asked her to tell no one of the news, which I think is very much a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And she persuaded Setti to write letters and postcards to relatives and friends that were to be mailed when she reached Pola tell them that everything was fine. Yeah, such a red flag.
So clever, though, as well.
I know. I'm just
bad
like,
clever. Like,
I love you've gone straight for admiration.
It's all coming out now. Wowzers.
Yeah, I'm like, just want to grab this little lady and go, don't let society make you so desperate for a husband. It blinds you to red flags.
Girlfriend.
Yes, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
Because I'm cool. On the day of her departure, I'm doing air quotes for the listeners. That's awful. I shouldn't do air quotes. But it's all for the listeners.
Yeah,
it's just you three that saw my fingers.
They don't know we're all naked. So it's cool.
So Setti came to visit Kianta Yuli one last time And Kenzie Udi offered her a drink. What was the drink?
What was it really, or what did she offer?
I mean, both.
Amaretto. Right? But it was arsenic.
Yeah, poison.
Arsenetto, which sounds way worse. That sounds like a horrible drink.
Arsenetto.
You know what? I would rather order an arsenetto than a porn star martini, though. Genuinely.
It's way edgier.
I love porn star martinis, and I hate saying that. I'd rather say arsenetto. Just for the record. For the record.
Cool. It was a glass of drugged wine. And then she killed her. What do you think she killed her with?
Not just the drugs.
Do you know what? I don't know.
That just knocked her out.
That knocked her out or killed her.
Strangulation?
No.
Oh. Threw her over a cliff.
No.
Drowned her.
No, I'm just wondering if I should say trigger, like, I don't know if we're a trigger warning kind of podcast, but this next bit.
I think that ship has sailed.
This is a bit gruesome, and if you're listening to this, you probably like gruesome stuff, but you've been warned. It's gruesome. So it was an axe. So Kianti Uli killed her with an axe, dragged her body into a closet, then cut it into 9 parts, gathering the blood in a basin. She then described what happened in her official statement in court. I threw the pieces into a pot, added 7 kilos of caustic soda, which I had bought to make soap, and stirred the mixture until the pieces dissolved in a thick, dark mush that I poured into several buckets and emptied in a nearby septic tank. As for the blood in the basin, I waited until it had coagulated, dried it in the oven, ground it and mixed it with flour, sugar, chocolate, milk and eggs, as well as a bit of margarine. Kneading all the ingredients together, I made lots of crunchy tea cakes and served them to the ladies who came to visit, though Giuseppe and I also ate them.
In terms of, like, giving people ideas from this podcast, like, tonight is a bad one. Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah.
So bad. Like, Mary Berry.
It's not wrong.
The opposite of Mary Berry.
Yeah.
The anti-Mary Berry.
Yeah.
It's really gross.
So
tea
disgusting.
Cake shouldn't be crunchy.
Can't unhear that.
Sorry.
I know.
It was the word crunchy, wasn't it?
It was the word crunchy.
Yeah. And it was coagulated that triggered me.
Oh, what a horrible word.
Awful.
See, I said trigger warning and then gave you guys no opt-out.
Yeah, we did. I was going to walk out, but...
Some sources also record that Kianti Uli apparently received Seti's life savings, 30,000 lira, as payment for her services. So she gets away with that. The next victim is Francesca Suavi. A very similar deal, except that she claimed to be finding her a teaching job at a school for girls in Placenza. Like Seti, Suavi was persuaded to write postcards to be sent to friends, this time from Coraggio, detailing her plans. And also she came to her before the departure, given drugged wine, yada yada, killed with an axe, baked in a tea cake,
usual
yada,
story.
Yada, stole
her. Yeah.
So mundane. Supposedly 3,000 lira. I was just thinking, though, like, if you're going to do human sacrifices to, like, appease some kind of god, should you really be stealing the money? Like, isn't that going to, like, undo the karma that you're brilliantly getting for the human sacrifice? I feel like,
totally doesn't add up.
Give it to charity or something. Like, it doesn't... Yeah, it feels like there's a few things happening there.
And that isn't just... Oh, let's dispose of a body. There is a part of me that is engaging in this ritual.
Yeah.
And I'm going to consume it myself. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, the pathology is so much deeper here than...
Yeah. It's,
than even human sacrifice, which is bad news.
Yeah. But she's stealing. It's just so weird to be, like, trying to purify or whatever her family, but then stealing.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like that's weird.
It's super weird.
Yeah. But the people cookies are fun, but the stew.
What a lie. Third and final murder, our soprano singer, Virginia Cacioppo. I've forgotten how to pronounce it.
Cacioppo.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know.
Kianti Uli slipped up here because Virginia was better known as a singer and had more family around, specifically, and the source says, a nosy sister-in-law. But I would like to go on record and say that that's not a very nice description of somebody who basically foiled a murderer.
Yeah.
A hero.
Yeah, like maybe astute and clever sister-in-law who brought a murderer to justice. Anyway, so Kianti Uli had promised Virginia a job working with an impresario in Florence. And as with the two other women, she was instructed not to tell a single person where she was going. She agreed, and on September 30th, 1940, came for a last visit to Chiantiuli. The pattern to the murder was the same as the first two, plus 50,000 lira and assorted jewels, but the sister-in-law obviously saw her going into the house. Now, there is actually some discrepancy in my sources as to whether they were all made into soap, but this lady definitely was, because I think some of the others were just made into biscuits, but this one was made into soap and biscuits.
Soprano?
Yay!
Oh!
Yeah, you can.
Wow, that really echoed. I just really like puns.
We did.
That's great.
That was amazing.
When a pun is good, it echoes.
But according to her official statement... She ended, so Chiantiuli says, she ended up in the pot like the other two. Her flesh was fat and white. When it had melted, I added a bottle of cologne, and after a long time on the boil, I was able to make some most acceptable creamy soap. I gave bars to neighbours and acquaintances. The cakes too were better. That woman was really sweet.
Whoa!
I feel like she's doing it for attention now.
So, sister-in-law smells a rat, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't believe that she did a quick departure. They start to suspect the son, so she confesses everything. How long do you think her trial lasted?
Well, I reckon because she was a woman that was murdering people, and it was probably 12 men on the jury, she was probably found guilty really, really quickly.
Correct. Just a few days.
Yeah.
And she remained unrepentant, going so far as to correct the official account while on the stand. And basically, she's kind of like boasting that she gave this copper ladle... to the war effort and stuff. So she's like, she thinks she's this
she did
great
them a favour.
Yeah. Like one source said, her deep set dark eyes gleamed with a wild inner pride, which I think is getting a bit sensationalist. But I think like male writers, they can't help being weirdos.
What did you say about her tits?
I mean, I didn't get that.
Okay, no, it's fine.
But they're probably mentioned somewhere. So she was found guilty of her crimes and granted a 33-year sentence that echoed the fortune teller's prophecy with eerie accuracy. 30 years in a prison and 3 years in a criminal asylum.
And was that like one hand bigger than the other? Like, what? Was that accurate?
I mean... and she actually died in prison in October 1970.
Wow, 1970, isn't that weird?
You know what? At least she got to experience women's lib.
And really benefited from it.
I bet she burnt some bras in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, some of the artifacts are in the Criminal Museum in Rome. And so it was made a darkly comic play, which was called Love and Magic in Mama's Kitchen.
Oh, my God.
I think it's really gross when people joke about things.
And then it was produced... it was at the Spoletti... It was like... Oh, it was first produced by Lena Wetmuller at the Spoletti...
Sorry. My British name just took
me. We've totally set you up to question.
Yeah.
Her name was... Sally.
Joe Festival in 1979, and the play began a run on Broadway in 1983.
Wow.
So soon as that.
Jazz hands, guys.
I'm in shock. Are you in shock? I feel a little bit like covered what
I've
just heard.
Yeah, no, so that's quite a full on one, though.
Yeah. Thank you.
we all need to go and like watch a Disney film.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
We need to go and wash ourselves, but yeah. I don't want to. Like,
I don't want to use soap again.
Yeah. Next time we see you,
shower
you're just
gel away. From now on.
Exactly.
We've solved another crime.
Yay!
Yay!
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for sharing. We've learned so much.
Drunk women solving crime.
So we have a listener crime here, which was written by somebody who is describing himself as I'm a man. We don't have a name. So he says, my Spotify was hacked and they keep changing it to Argentinian hip hop. P.S. I'm a man.
That matters.
Yeah. I've also been mugged with a hammer.
It's a lot of information.
I know.
And yet not enough at all.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
That's two separate crimes. I feel like he wants a Spotify one cured. What's the word? Solved.
Stopped.
Solved. Stopped.
Please stop, whoever you are.
Yeah. I think it's funny hijacking somebody's Spotify and making the music wrong. Not that Argentinian hip-hop is wrong.
But no. If it's not his
but
taste.
It's only for women. Apparently.
Yeah, but like, I feel like that would be someone you know, right? Like,
yeah, unless it's like a Spotify.
Does a stranger bother to do that? Like, they can't see your angry face.
But they might have, like, issues like the last case.
Wow.
So they have, that's how they're venting.
That's true.
Yeah.
And in which case, carry on, because that's better than murdering.
It's safe. It's a safe form of venting. Yeah, definitely.
I remember my friend saying that his Netflix account got hacked once.
Yeah.
And he could tell that there was this guy from this different country who he didn't know watching things on his Netflix account.
Wow.
And instead of changing his password immediately, he waited until he could see that he was on the last episode of, I think, this 13 Reasons
yes.
Why. And yeah, and
oh,
he was
no.
just, I know.
Oh,
wow. And he was like, changing that fucking password. So he did it at literally the worst time.
The best revenge.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's very good.
That is very good.
Yeah.
What a genius.
Oh, mate, let's end it on that.
Yay! I'm going to do that. Okay.
Cheers!
Cheers!
Cheers! Cheers! Yay! Uma, thank you so much for being such a fantastic guest.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yay!
Our pleasure.
And do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
Yes, I'm going to be venturing into the podcast world.
Yay,
I'm woo-hoo. Launching on Acast.
Cool.
It's called Girl Chat.
What's it about?
So it's looking at life through a British South Asian perspective.
Okay.
We're going to be meeting really inspiring women who are challenging cool. perceptions, but also talking about things from a South Asian British point of view. It's like for everybody to listen to.
Yeah.
So not just, you don't have to be just British and Asian.
It sounds really interesting.
The subject matter is really diverse. So we've got like a psychologist, we're going to be talking about mental health and how that affects South Asian women in the UK. We've got people who've gone on to like do really successful businesses.
Awesome.
Talking to someone who's breaking boundaries and stigmatism about having cancer in like, especially being
wow.
South Asian. So it's like really varied.
Yeah.
We talk about dating, fashion, beauty.
Sounds amazing.
Like serious
really
stuff,
does.
Crimes,
cool.
maybe crime.
Will there be a fortune teller on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm
and you'll
interested.
All be able
to
call
to
in.
More.
Send me your like date of birth. All that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. It will just be me, basically, with a wig.
It is not looking good,
Helen. Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
Awesome, and I can't wait to listen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter, on Facebook and Insta. We are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.